You're listening to Your World Today. Key Muslim cleric defends halal meat slaughter techniques. So we're joined on the line by Ajmal Masroor, Imam, broadcaster, fundraiser, relationship counselor. His mission is to inform, inspire, and influence positive change. He speaks to us live from London. Sheikh Ajmal, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you?
I'm very well, and yourself?
Alhamdulillah, very good. No complaints whatsoever.
Alhamdulillah. There has been some controversy in the UK recently regarding halal slaughter techniques, and you defended halal methods. Give us the rundown to the story.
London has lots and lots of exciting and controversial things happening, especially if you're a Muslim. It's the most fashionable thing to do, and that is to attack Islam and the Muslims in Europe today. So recently, a group of people have been leading a research. Then they found in the research that zabiha done, which is slaughtering done without stunning the animals, apparently, according to their research, causes a lot of pain, undue pain to the animals. If you stun the animal, as far as they're concerned, according to their research, you reduce the pain. So they are now saying, and they're demanding, that the halal meat slaughter, unstunned, as well as the kosher meat slaughter, unstunned, should be banned in the UK and Europe. So this was the campaign, and radios and television stations, newspapers were covering the story. So they called me up and they asked me what my thoughts were. And I told them very categorically that for Muslims, halal is not just about permissibility. Halal must come with the concept of tayyib. Because Allah says halal and tayyib are together in the same verse whenever he's talking about our food. The word halal means permissible, and tayyib means wholesome. So the animal rearing, animal breeding, the way animal has been kept, fed, the method of slaughter, all of these must comply with Sharia, otherwise it's neither halal nor tayyib. And one of that is that the animal must be slaughtered. The current one, as far as Islam is concerned, the best one is zabiha without stunning. However, if stunning can conclusively prove, and if anybody can provide us the research that it doesn't kill the animal, and its heart function and the function to pump out the blood from its body isn't diminished or reduced at all, then Muslims could, and theologians and scientists could, negotiate, discuss, and see if there are rooms for discussion. But without such, anyone screaming foul will not be listened to. So that's the summary of what I had spoken about on the radio.
Yes, an interesting perspective that you put it across to them. Is your food healing you or killing you? The Blessed Prophet advised us to observe three simple principles. What are they?
It's very simple when it comes to eating food. Are you talking about eating or are you talking about the slaughter? Which one are you talking about?
The eating.
Eating, very, very simple. You eat less, only one third still of your stomach, not the entire. Secondly, when you eat food, be grateful for the food that Allah has given you. Thank Allah, thank the cook, and thank the animal that has been killed for you so that you can live. The third, and this is the one where we fall foul, we binge eat all the time. Only eat when you're hungry. If Muslims were to observe these three principles when it comes to food, we will not be obese, we will not be suffering from diabetes, heart and cholesterol problems, and we will be the most healthy people in the world. Unfortunately, the Muslims have become the worst example of halal and tayyib consumption. Our habits dictate. We have actually contradicted the advice of the Prophet. We are just going by the letter of the law, observing the halal part, but never observing the tayyib part in our own lifestyle.
And in particular, with regards to meat, has our attitude towards meat become commercialized? What is your advice in this regard?
Terribly commercialized, my brother. It is absolutely, absolutely sad. If you ask most children in Europe, from what I know, or America, do they know where chicken actually comes from? Do they know that chicken that they eat, or the beef that they eat, or lamb that they eat, actually comes from an animal that was alive, an animal that was breathing, living, walking, making noise. It was even part of a family, and that animal has been killed. It was warm. I remember slaughtering an animal myself, the Adha. And when I put the sheep down on the floor, held its head, and then pulled the artery between my fingers, and then took the sharp knife, wallahi, I will never forget, my brother, the animal was staring right into my eye. You know, I almost stopped breathing for a few seconds. And I felt the heartbeat of the animal in my hand. And then as I cut its throat, the hot blood hit my skin. And I said, "Ya Allah, I've just killed a living creature. Forgive me for doing this. You've given me permission to kill, to eat." That kind of reverence can only come when we have a good relationship with animals. All polythene packed, clean, sanitized on the top shelves of our supermarket diminishes the spiritual element and the relationship element of the animals that we have. Commercialized overconsumption is unfortunately the biggest killer of both spirituality as well as our health.
In terms of, furthering education and educating people all around, we understand that you had a heart-to-heart chat with your son recently. What was the discussion about?
It looks like you're following me pretty well.
Yes.
The other day I was sitting at home and having a conversation with my son. My wife was out with my daughter. They had gone out for a program. And I asked my son, "Who do you think amongst your parents love you most, me or your mother?" He didn't even blink. He looked at me and he said to me, "My mother." So I was quite, of course, wounded. I said to him, "So why do you say to your mother?" I was a clever boy. He looked at me and he said to me, "Daddy, how many months did mommy carry me in her belly?" I said, 9.5 months. He goes to me, blunt and very convinced by his argument, "That's the reason why she loves me most." And you know what? It is true that he's absolutely right. The Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said to the companions that mothers have rights over their children 3 times more than the father. Even one contraction of the labor pain can never be paid back by all of us put together, for we are indebted to our mothers. So I was very inspired by my son's, undivided devotion to his mother. So I told him, "If anything happens to me, please look after your mother. Be the man of the house." And he promised he would. Alhamdulillah, after that, I think he was in deep thinking. He went and drew a water lily as a gift for his mother, just to show his appreciation. My son Ibrahim is very deeply philosophical when it comes to these things, and he's very emotional. He's expressive. He's very much in touch with his emotional part. We really enjoy that part of him every day. So alhamdulillah, we have that heart to heart, and I realized after the conversation that my boy is no longer a little boy. He's growing up fast now. He's 8 years old, and he needs me more than ever before. He's very clingy. He wants to be with me wherever I go. Every Jum'ah, he wants to go to the mosque with me and be with me. He likes to sit underneath the pulpit, and he says to me, "Oh, when I go to the mosque and you're not there, I really don't enjoy prayer." I'm very grateful to Allah for having given me an amazing son, and may Allah keep him on the right path and all our children on the right path and give them hayatun tayyibah, as we say, inshallah.
Yes, now, you know, you made reference to the fact that we've been keeping a close eye, and an even closer eye, as we know that you recently turned 45 now. What realizations have come to you that you share with the listeners at this stage of your life?
45 is a good time. Danny, was a more momentous occasion. More momentous in the sense that suddenly at the age of 40, something dawned on me. My God, more than half of my life is gone. 45 is obviously even further away from my youthful lifestyle. But you know, life is wonderful. What Allah has given as ni'mah is amazing. I never regret a moment of my life that I have lived. I never regret what Allah has given me. Everything I've done has been an opportunity. If I've failed, it's been a learning curve. If I've succeeded, I thank Allah for it. I think we should all really, really constantly evaluate what we're doing. My father said to me 3 simple questions. He said, "My son, when you're gone, you're dead and buried, how will the world remember you?" And then he said to me, "Ask yourself these 3 questions all the time. Number one, when you're dead and buried, would the people of the world say, 'Good riddance, he's gone, alhamdulillah'? Or would they moan and mourn and cry and be upset because you're gone, because you're a good man, good person, good woman?" Second question that he always asked me to think of is that, how would you have benefited the world in which you lived? In other words, did the world gain any benefit from my existence, my life, my time, my age, my youthfulness, my brain? And the third question my father has advised me to think of is that, how did you take benefit from this world, the world which Allah had given me as an amanah, as a trust? How did I benefit from it? Did I waste my time? Did I travel and thank Allah? Did I ponder? Did I become reflective? All of those things are more acute when you are turning older every day. So 45, I think about it more often than ever before. And I hope and I pray that I lead a good life until I die productively in the world and benefit the world. So no regret, my dear brother. I'm only happy that Allah has given 45 years to live.
Alhamdulillah, you know, we've really benefited from the frank discussions that you had with your son, as well as your father with you. And these are really signs of good relations, and I think we all can take a cue from that, the importance of open relations within the family, sitting down, reflecting on things, discussing things, sharing ideas, and that is something where in many parts of the world, it really lacks these days.
In the next few days, I'll be writing something about Surah Hujarat. As you know, the story around Surah Hujarat as it was revealed, but it talks about how we need to have a relationship with one another, and based on what principles. So keep a lookout, and maybe when you have a time, you may be able to call and talk about it. But it is absolutely right. Three things we should always do with our families. We should sit down and have continuous, frank conversations and honest conversations with one another, number one. Number two, we should give feedback with our loved ones. I love you. I'm not happy with what's going on. I'm upset because of. Taking responsibility as well as giving feedback, number two. And number three, most dying wish of most people is that they did not spend enough time with their family. Allah has given us one life and one family. And if we don't cherish them, we will regret it on our deathbed. So brothers and sisters, whoever you are, wherever you are, spend more time with your family, quality time. Sit down and have honest conversations with one another. And number three, give feedback, honest feedback. Tell them you love them. Tell them you miss them. Your family will be better and you will be better off, inshallah. We pray that Allah makes your family stronger and brings your hearts closer together so that you can actually enjoy the ni'mah Allah has bestowed upon us through our families.
SubhanAllah, beautiful advice, Sheikh. Ajmalullah, we appreciate it. Jazakumullah khair for sharing the insight with our listeners.
Barakallah fik, anytime. My salams to everybody in the Cape Town you're in?
Johannesburg.
Johannesburg, so sorry. Or wherever people are listening to this radio station from, all of them, my salam, inshallah, make dua for me, my family, and welcome my son, inshallah.
Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, sir, that was Sheikh Ajmal Masroor speaking to us about the defending of halal meat in UK, and also giving us insights on family life and other relevant issues.